You're always seated. Now, I have to say within about 15 to 25 minutes. So if I go longer, someone just go like that to me. I'll get this clicker here. As we begin, I'd like to actually start with a scripture. In Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19, it talks about these things. It says, "These six things doth Yahweh hate, yea, seven that are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." One thing to notice in this passage is the fact that the writer actually basically notates seven things that Yahweh hates, and then lists those seven things. It's interesting to note the fact that Yahweh actually hates things, and actually lists those things, which means in turn he likes things too. You know, from myself and every one of us here, we all like things and we all don't like things. Just from like a food perspective, my family really likes black licorice. When I think of my mom, I think of Good and Plenty's and stuff and how she really likes them. Well, I hate black licorice. I think it's vile. I think it's loathsome to my tongue. But she likes them. And I just want to give that idea to you of things that we like and things that we don't like. Well, whether I like black licorice or not really doesn't depend upon my salvation. And what I want to discuss today is it really does matter when it comes to Yahweh and what he likes and what he dislikes. Here we get an idea in this passage of what Yahweh hates. He doesn't dislike it slightly. He doesn't have an aversion to these things, but in fact he hates them, absolutely despises things. Now, how can Yahweh hate? Because you know, we know many scriptures that Yahweh is love. You know, Yahweh is compassion, and Yahweh loves many things. But he is, of course. But the thing you have to realize is that you can't love something unless you despise the opposite of that. As I was putting this together, I was thinking of a movie about, and we all have different movies about like right and wrong and stuff. And it was a movie that was set in the Nazi era. It was about this Jewish man who survives the Nazi regime. And he saw his family get taken from him and taken to the concentration camps. And, you know, you see his struggle as he goes through, you know, trying to survive, trying to, you know, scrounge up enough food to stay alive. And as you watch these events, and I'm sure each of us has, you know, something in history that we can think of, that we see injustice, we see something going wrong. And it affects us. It causes emotions within us to stir up that say, you know, that's wrong. You know, that's not right. That's what's happening. And that's the same thing that happens, you know, with Yahweh. Yahweh cannot love us if he is not concerned with us, if he doesn't want to destroy and get rid of all the things that are harmful with us. If you look at each of these seven things, each of them are harmful to us. You know, causing arrogant attitude within us with pride or a lying tongue. No one likes to be around someone who's a lying tongue because you can't trust them. Everything they say is subject to question. All these things Yahweh hates because it's against us, it's against him, and it's against his nature, and it's destructive to us. So you cannot, I want to make it clear that you can't love something without hating something else in return. Now, why do I bring this up? Why is this important to us? Well, I believe every one of us here is in the pursuit, or should be in the pursuit, of serving Yahweh. I think that's the reason why everyone is here today in services. You know, they find a need that they want to serve Yahweh and do what's right. And we ought to, you know, Yahshua said that we ought to be perfect, even as Yahweh is perfect. So we should always be striving towards that end goal of being like Yahshua. You know, this should perk up our ears when we hear about what Yahweh likes and what Yahweh doesn't like, so that we don't do those things that he doesn't like, and so we do the things that he does like. But the question I have for us is, do we hate the things that Yahweh hates as much as he hates them? And also the flip side, do we love the things that Yahweh loves with as much love as he loves them? The reason I bring this up is because of the direction that the world is going. I'm sure you've all seen that in the news. More and more you hear on the news about a state that's legalized homosexuality or of the praise of human rights as we abort and kill babies. We're seeing the downward direction of our entertainment and media. Our moral fabric is being ripped to pieces from us. And this should upset us. We should be upset that evil is gaining ground, and it should upset us that good is now considered evil and evil is good. This is not an age of passive opinions. We must see where the world is going and run from it and go towards Yahweh's ways. And we should find out what Yahweh wants and what he wants from us and go towards those things and find out what he likes, what he hates and go away from them. What is this world like? In Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness," which means the license to do as you please, "idolatry, witchcraft or sorcery, hatred, variance, emulations," which is envy, "wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh." If you take a look at this list of items here that is the works of the flesh, are any of these really condemned in society? No, they're really not. They're usually laughed about. You'll see a couple on television that's living a promiscuous lifestyle, and they'll laugh about it. They'll make a joke about it and just go on. Or they'll call like this as a lifestyle. They'll say that it's normal, that you're supposed to accept it. But what is Yahweh like? Does Yahweh really like these things? No. It says the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 2, verse 22 to 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness," or faith, "meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." If you were to compare the two side by side and were to look at the works of the flesh or the works of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit, they're diametrically opposed. You can't have the one without the other. You can't love marriage between a husband and a wife if you love fornication. You just can't. It's an opposite. You can't love gentleness if you are committing a crime. It's an absolute opposite of each other. What we should do is try to emulate more of what Yahweh is. The problem is that we live in the world, and we're not going to get away from the world. You know, Yahshua says that we are to live in the world. We're not supposed to go into monasteries like many people do and live away from the world. But the world can rub off on us. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, it says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications or companions corrupt good manners or morals." In psychology, there is a term called the mere exposure effect. The definition of it on psychcentral.com says this: "A psychological phenomenon whereby people feel a preference for things, people or things, simply because they're familiar, also known as the exposure effect and the familiarity principle." This is interesting because it has no basis in logic. Just because we see a stranger occasionally does not make them any more trustworthy. We just feel like they are because we know them. Basically, what this means is the more you're around something or the more you see something, the more you get used to it. So if you're around something more, you'll just get used to it. If you look at the entertainment for today, I just want to talk about that. Have you noticed how different it is compared to I Love Lucy from the 1950s? It's definitely had declined. Even programs since I was a kid that I used to watch, I think of Sesame Street. When I was a kid, I used to watch Sesame Street, and now I can't stand to watch it anymore. There's just so much liberal stuff in it now. So even since I was a kid, things have just gone downhill. And you have to wonder, how did this happen? How does moral degradation happen? Well, it happens very, very slowly because we don't even notice it. It happens so slow. They add a swear word here, or they add an inappropriate innuendo there, and eventually we get used to it, and it's just accepted as part of our culture. It reminds me of the parable of how to boil a frog. You ask, well, how do you boil a frog? Okay, well, let's say we boil some water and we throw a frog into it. Well, the frog's going to jump out right away because it's too hot. So what you do is you take a frog and you put it into a cool pot of water. And eventually you turn, it gets used to it, it likes it, it wades around. And you turn the temperature up just a little bit, and it doesn't feel it. And you keep on turning it up and up and up until it's boiled. It doesn't even realize what's going on and what's happened because it's so small of increments that it eventually boils itself to death. The same thing can apply to us in our lives. Do we tolerate sinful practices that we hear and see about, or do we hate to even be near it or even see it? And on the opposite end, Do we only want to bring good things into our lives? I don't want to pick too much on movies. They just happened to be in my mind when I was thinking about this. There was one movie that I was thinking about that I had seen years ago, and I had to ask myself, would Joshua have shown up to my house while I was watching that? Would he have been like, yeah, let's, go out to movies and watch this? It has some really good action scenes in it. But as a movie as a whole, I had to ask myself, do you think Joshua would really want me to watch this, or would he want to? And I had to say no. The whole thing, and like I said, there were some good action scenes in it, but I don't think that he would approve of me watching it. I don't think he would have watched it himself. He probably would have told me, why are you watching this thing? And I think, like I said, I don't want to just pick on movies and TV. That's just a small aspect of the battle that we face in our lives. What I want this to be is the checkup on our lives, on what we approve and what we disapprove in our lives, no matter where it comes from. If you think about it, doing what Yahweh wants and Yahweh doesn't want is really the key to righteous living. I mean, if you think about it, if you do what he does, then and that makes him happy. And therefore, you're being righteous. And if you do the things that you don't do the things that he doesn't want you to do, I think I got that right, then you'll also make him happy. You'll be like him. It's almost like if you have like a hero or something that you look up to, something that you want to dress, someone maybe you want to dress like, or someone you want to act like, or maybe certain walk or a mannerism, you emulate your life after that person because you think it will make them happy. The same thing applies to us in our righteous lives as we look to be more towards Yahweh. Yahshua told us that we are to be lights to this world. Light doesn't take on the attributes of life, but actually pushes it away. Years ago when I was a kid, I have vague recollections of this, but one thing I do remember is when years ago I went to Merrimack Caverns. It was a pretty cool, I think it's in Missouri. I think so, yeah. I was a kid, so I have like vague memories. But one thing I do remember is they turned the lights off when we were in there. That freaked me out. That was scary. Have you ever been in a dark place where you can't see your hand in front of you? It's almost like you can like swim through it. It's so thick. But when they turn the lights back on, the darkness like was gone. It's like even if you're in a dark room and there's like a pinprick of light, that pinprick of light you can still see. And that's the same thing with us. We must pierce the darkness. We must be the ones that show the light to others in the world. Being like Yahweh is like this. We must be like Yahshua, his son, to show the light of Yahweh. How can we convince anyone of the true way to live if we don't even live it ourselves, or even if we don't take a stand against it? If we don't live it ourselves and don't take a stand against it, then we are being hypocritical against it. We cannot preach one thing and say something and then live our lives another way. Let's say, I don't know, I felt like using a lot of examples in this sermon. Let's say that I'm a dietitian. I'm a leading dietitian in the world, and I go around the world and I talk about how to eat healthy, and I talk about how you should live right and how you should eat your vegetables daily and how you should exercise on a regular basis. And yet, let's say that after I'm done with my talks, I go out and I eat, fast food, or if I don't exercise, and I'm just using that as an example, but do you think anyone actually is going to take me seriously? If I say that you should live healthily, eat vegetables all the time, exercise regularly, and yet I do the exact opposite of what I tell people to do? And that's the same thing with us in our lives. If we say that things are a certain way, we should live our lives accordingly. Satan is very cunning in how he deceives us. He puts things out there. He slips things in that we don't even perceive sometimes in our minds, but it sticks there. That's the danger of what Satan is. Satan doesn't come at us with straight lies. The lie that he told Eve, dying you shall not die. Well, technically she didn't actually die, but she would have. So he mixed a little bit of he had some truth in there, but he mixed some error in there as well. If he would have told her, Eve, you're going to die in 100 and some years, and all your children are going to have to die, and you're going to all live a life of sorrow and pain, she would have been like, whoa, I don't think so. But instead, he mixed a little bit in to deceive her. It's the same thing that happens with us. But we can overcome with Yahweh's help. In Romans 12, verse 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. A great way to do this is to read your Bibles. You know, stay continually in the truth. You know, pray and try to have a deeper communion with Yahweh. You know, understand what Yahweh disapproves of in your life and get them out. Cling to Yahweh and His Word. I like to close with these thoughts in Philippians 4, verse 8. I think I messed up the verse. It should be 4, verse 8, but I had a typo there. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And so, as I like to conclude, think on these things. Think in your minds whatever things are true and just and honest. And you will become more like Yahweh, because these are the things that He wants us to think about. This is who Yahweh is. And so, may Yahweh bless you as your walk goes more towards Yahweh. Amen.